is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Clear Directions with Monica Becker. Monica is the founder of Clear Directions Coaching, a leadership coach and Dalai Method facilitator here to introduce you to diverse guests offering education, insights, perspectives, and practical tools intended to assist leaders in resolving their internal and external struggles. Get ready for the next engaging and insightful conversation. Here's Monica now.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to my show. It's Monica here, Monica Becker of Clear Directions Coaching, and I'm calling once again from beautiful North Vancouver in British Columbia, Canada, and today is a gorgeous sunny day here on the West Coast, just a beautiful summer day. Yeah, so as you may know by now, my monthly radio shows actually are meant to help you find your clear directions in life. And my shows have the overarching topic of leadership. And that is not just for leaders as official leadership roles, but for all of us to lead our life with as much strength and authenticity and joy and purpose as possible. And my guests and I, we all intend to help you, like to educate you and to offer you some tools and insights that will help you to carve out your unique path in life and to live life as happily and as purposefully as you possibly can. Today, I will have a show by myself. Next month, I will have a guest again, but today I will be running the show by myself. And the topic of today's show is bring yourself, your full self, to work and life. What does that mean? And how do you do it? So because I am by myself today, I will have some extra time to answer your questions or offer you a quick piece of guidance on how to live more authentically, both in life in general and at work. So get ready to call in during our designated Q&A segment, which will be probably in about 25 to 30 minutes. And of course, at any time throughout the show, you can email us your questions to the following email address, which is on the air. That's all three words in one word, on the air at telus.net. So when I talk about leadership as an overarching topic for my show, I would just like to repeat again what I mean by leadership, in particular by self-leadership, because I believe that leading life from the inside of ourselves and directed by our own values is the most important thing that we can focus on. So when I talk about self-leadership, I mean that you are the person, the leader in your own life. You lead a self-directed life where you and nobody else set the steering wheel of your life, you set the tone and the focus for your life, and you are not allowing your life to be determined by external expectation, demands, limitations, or judgments. It also means that you're taking responsibility for your life and that you are accountable to the things that you say and do or that you don't say and don't do. And it means that you are saying and doing the things that feel good and right to you so that you basically live by your own values and guiding principles. So based on that, self-leadership then also reaches into the way how we choose to show up in life and at work and how much of our whole self we actually express in life in general and at work in particular. Over the recent years, or maybe even decades, there has been a growing initiative to bring your whole self to work. So that is particularly focused on the work environment, where many people suffer from actually kind of like leaving part of personality and identity at the door when they enter into their workplace every day, and they just try to fit in and show those parts of themselves that are needed for work, but they're definitely not showing up fully, and that has a negative effect on work. So this initiative of bringing your whole self to work has been around for some time, and today I would like to expand this idea to actually bringing our whole selves to work and to life in general, and not just focus on work. So as I said, I will shed some light on what I think it means to bring our whole selves to life and to work, and how to do that in our own lives. So what makes me qualified to even talk about this topic? Well, let me share a little bit about my own experiences around not bringing my whole self to life and work and how it has affected me. So when I grew up, I somehow ended up choosing to be the good girl in our family. And subsequently, I also stepped into the role of a people pleaser. And as you can probably imagine, being the good girl, pleasing other people meant that I would put my own thoughts, or at least some of them, my own needs and wants to the side. And I would make sure that other people's expectations were satisfied first, so that I would come to across as the good girl. And in the process, what I chose to do was basically to neglect parts of myself so that I would gain the recognition and praise from other people. So my behavior in large parts was focused on being seen and praised as the good girl. And eventually that became kind of like second nature to me. It felt very good to me to be praised and seen as that, and to kind of like fulfill that role. And that's why I kept doing it. But eventually, sometime in my 20s or so, it actually started to hurt emotionally, and I felt a little depressed and unhappy. That's when I started to look more inside, and actually I began to reconnect that I had neglected. And I started to discover a little more who I really was and what I really wanted, which doesn't mean that I automatically was able to express that more, excuse me, but at least I started to look inside and become more aware of myself and of those parts that I had chosen to put to the side and to hide. And then I also became interested in lots of self-help courses and workshops and my spiritual development, and I read a lot and also participated in some therapy sessions, which all helped me a great deal in learning more about myself and realizing that I had suppressed so much of my true self by stepping into that role of the good girl and the people pleaser. So I was able to let go of a few of my adopted beliefs and expectations on myself that I had put on myself, and therefore I started to actually loosen up a little and not be so directed by always wanting to please and be the good girl. And in some situations that of course worked better to express myself a little more truly, in other situations not so much. Then a few years ago, overall, of course, things did become better, and I stepped more into showing up more authentically. However, I had the most experience of feeling disconnected from my true self a few years back in 2017, when I actually experienced what we would probably commonly is known as an identity crisis. At that point, I felt completely bereft of any sense of self. I felt completely empty inside, and didn't know who I was and what my purpose was in life and what I wanted to achieve or do in my life. So despite all of my previous efforts over the years of healing myself and growing myself into more of an authentic person, there obviously was another deeper layer that I still needed to look at and work through. And I did. So over the last few years, I've particularly worked with the Dalian Method, of which I am a facilitator. And that work helped me greatly in getting to know myself at a very deep level and learning to accept myself, accept others and life just as it all is. So I stepped into taking more full responsibility for my life and everything I say or do, and that was such an empowering experience. And it totally transformed my life, and from then on, I've definitely taken huge strides in becoming more authentic and also more peaceful with who I am, and come to a place of much greater peace inside of myself. Luckily, so I'm now living much more in alignment with the things that really matter to me and that are true to me. And life, as a result, has become so much easier as well, because I stopped, or at least do it much less, that I'm no longer pretending to have it all together, or that I try to fit in and please other people, or say or do only the things that I'm supposed to be saying, or that I say or do things to please other people, right? So it's not all perfect, though, for sure not, by no means. I'm still learning and growing into being my whole self. However, I've definitely increased my level of courage to be and speak and act as me in many more cases than ever before. And that is a very empowering experience. And feeling that relief and joy that comes from bringing my whole self to work and to life is just wonderful. And if I can do it, you can do it too. And that's why I'm sharing a few of these insights with you today in the hope that you will take a few tips for yourself, in case that this is something that you want to do, so that you can bring more of your whole self to life and to work. And so my passion for this whole topic of bringing our whole selves to life obviously stems from my own personal experience around not having done it for so long. So I want to help other people in reconnecting with their true self and expressing it out in life. In addition to that, when I was working in some of my corporate workplaces, it used to really pain me deeply to see how many people were just disengaged at work. They didn't really enjoy their work. They were kind of like cynical about it. And sometimes they would bend over backwards to fit in and be seen as good employees, while at their core really hating it. I saw that as such a waste of human potential and life and energy. And that also fueled my desire to actually, do something about it and make life a little easier for those people that actually don't feel like they're able to express themselves fully. Because when we don't bring our whole selves to work and to life, at some level we suffer. We suffer from a lack of engagement, from a lack of feeling alive, a lack of productivity, and our overall well-being is diminished. And then we can't really do our best. We can't operate at productive levels. We can't do our most innovative work. And we're not fully engaged in our relationships. And we spend and waste so much time trying to look good and fit in and say or do the right thing. And so we can't thrive and perform and enjoy life at our highest levels, even especially when we're holding back some of who we really are. So the work that I now do as a leadership coach and a Dalian Method facilitator is meant to support people in bringing their whole self to work and life and no longer hold back or hide parts of themselves. So now I would like to share a few perspectives and tips on what it actually means to bring your whole self to life and work and how you can do it. So the first step is for you to learn to be authentic. And the word authenticity, from how I understand it, it means that you are true to your own personality, to your beliefs, your values, and your spirit, regardless of expectations or the pressure that you're under to act otherwise. It means that you're honest with yourself and with others, and that you take responsibility for everything you do, including your mistakes. So you own up to your flaws and your shortcomings, and you also celebrate your successes. It's the whole gamut. It's all together. That's what authenticity means. I have a quote by Brené Brown that I would like to share with you that I found quite suitable for our conversation here today. So let me read that to you. Brené Brown says, "Be authentic. We must cultivate the courage to be imperfect and vulnerable. We must believe that we are fundamentally worthy of love and acceptance, just as we are. I've learned that there is no better way to invite more grace, gratitude, and joy into our lives than by mindfully practicing authenticity." And that's the end of her quote. So, practicing authenticity then, how can you do that? So first of all, I think one important thing to start doing it or to do more of it is to actually observe yourself. When you are in interactions with other people or in conversation with other people, do your words and your responses and the things that you say and do they actually feel good and genuine to you? Or are you feeling a conflict inside? Are you feeling that, like, truly inside, you are actually feeling something different than what comes out of your mouth or than what you are, the way you are behaving? So is the way how you're showing up really how you want to show up? Is what you're saying really what you want to express or not? So just by observing yourself without judging yourself, that can be your first step of actually becoming more authentic. Because it all starts with your awareness of yourself, observing how you show up, how it feels to you, and then also looking at, okay, so if this behavior of mine or what I said doesn't really feel good to me, what is it that I would rather say, or how would I rather behave? Which leads me to another aspect, which is for you actually to explore your core values. Put differently, what are your guiding principles in life that are so important to you that you cannot imagine living life without them? So basically what values are, for example, for me, integrity is one of my most important values. And what I mean by integrity is that I say and I do what I promised to say or to do. If I make a commitment, for example, to a client to follow up, or I make a commitment to a friend to do something for them, I will do that. Because it means the world to me to be true to my word. That's just a value that's essentially important to me. So what is it that is important to you that you want to honor in your life? Because once that you have established a set of core values, they will help you to then also determine how you show up in life, what your responses are going to be, because those values will be serving as some guiding principles when you have to make decisions. Also the small decisions in every day, like how are you responding to a certain question or a behavior of a friend, colleague, family member. Right? Even at those little decision points as to determining the way how you're going to react or respond to something, they can be guided by your values, by your guiding principles that are true and essential to you. If you want an exercise on how to clarify your values, I'll be happy to share that with you. You would just need to drop me an email at Monica, M-O-N-I-K-A, at cleardirections.ca. So the email again is Monica, M-O-N-I-K-A, at cleardirections, the plural, and in one word, .ca. If you drop me a line, I'll be happy to share my Clarify Your Values exercise with you, which will help you and give you precise instructions on how you can determine what are the guiding principles in your life. Then for you to learn to step into your authentic behavior is for you to also examine your beliefs. So what are some of the beliefs that you treasure? Because we all grow up in a set of beliefs that stem from our family, our society, our group of friends, the school that we've been raised at, or the church. There are the beliefs about how to live life in a purposeful way, how to show up within relationships, in your interactions. But maybe those beliefs, while you adopted them in your younger years, are now no longer fitting for you. Right? So it's totally okay for you to examine them and then to maybe drop a few of those beliefs that no longer serve you or that no longer fit for you, and you then adapt them to your current state of mind and what is true to you, or you drop them completely and replace them with something else. Okay, so those are a few points that I wanted to share with you in regards to being authentic. Because being authentic is, from my point of view, the most important tool that will help you to bring your whole self to life and to work. So if any questions or comments come up for you, feel free to email them to ontheair@telus.net, and we'll get to them as soon as they come in or as soon as we have a moment to stop. So, which I'll probably stop in another 5 minutes for a Q&A segment. So the second point that I wanted to share with you about how to bring your whole self to life and work is for you actually to be honest and truthful. And what I mean by that is maybe you have also experienced, just like myself, sometimes in a situation, in a discussion, there seems to be something like a group pressure or an expectation of the outcome or the way how people expect us to behave and what they expect us to say. And I have many times given in to that kind of pressure and said things that were not 100% truthful to me. Or I've stayed quiet, although inside of myself, I knew that I should have said something, because what kind of like was seen as the consensus of the group didn't gel with me 100%. Of course, also as Brené Brown said, it takes courage to show up authentically and voicing our honest opinions and take on things for sure takes courage as well. And from my own experience, it is absolutely liberating, as scary as it might be, but it totally sets me free whenever I do speak my truth, regardless of whether it lands well with other people or not. even, yeah, and that may have upset a few people along the way, but that's just what it is, right? We will probably never agree with everybody on Earth. That's just a matter of just impossible. But whenever I do speak my truth, and it really comes from that place of my inner solid self, where I just feel so convinced and rooted in that truth, then there's just no doubt that I need to say it like that, and it feels good to do so. It feels really, really liberating. So being honest is another way for you to bring and express your whole true self out in the world. Okay, I just see that we have a few questions that have been emailed in, so that may be a good time for us to actually look at a few of those questions. Okay, so let me see. Here is Carol in BC. She writes that, I'm having trouble tuning into my guidance higher self to see what direction I should be going in with my work. Yes, Carol, I can relate. That's not an easy one, and a big topic, and an important one, right? So you didn't really formulate a question, but I assume that you would like a piece of guidance, so I'm just going to offer you one. So what I would suggest for you to do is to actually, which in general I find works really well, is to apply a both-and approach. So use both your intellect, your intellectual intelligence, and your inner intelligence to make that decision. So I would for sure also write down the aspects of your ideal future work that you would like to be doing. What do you need to see and experience in order for this work to be a suitable next step in your career? And then for the inner intelligence, you need to find ways to actually connect with your inner wisdom, whether that is by meditation or by writing with the other hand, which if you Google that, you'll probably find some guidance around that, so that you over time develop some trust and confidence in that inner voice as well. And that you basically also, what you can also do is every day as a guiding question that you keep out to the universe, you can ask, okay, universe, I need some guidance here. Help me see what my best next step is for my future work. And then let the question go. Don't focus on it and fret over it. Just let it kind of like accompany you throughout the day without really concentrating on it. And see what serendipities might actually happen. Whether you see an ad in a newspaper for a position that actually strikes you as interesting, or whether you stumble across a book that has a title that speaks to you, and when you lift it up, you're actually connecting to something that exciting to you, things like that. In the end, for sure, I cannot stress enough, only step into something that if it's not a heck, hell yeah, then it's a no. It needs to feel good and right to you and speak to you, your values, and what you consider your purpose to be. If you want to have another, like, more expansive chat around that, like, feel free to reach out by email to me, and I'll be happy to set up a complimentary session with you just to give you maybe a few more pointers based on your particular circumstances. I hope that helped you a little bit, Carol. So now we have a question from Cheryl in Washington. Cheryl says, so many things seem to be beyond our control these days. So how do we feel like we are there on all levels with everything that's going on? Well, that's a big question. And the first thing that comes to mind is we cannot probably always be there. And I'm not even too sure what you mean by there. You put it in commas, in high commas. Let me just see, where you say that so many things seem to be beyond our control. That is indeed true. And at my core, I know that actually I have control over way fewer things than I think I am in control of. As human beings, we just tend to grasp onto facts and ideas and plans and things like that because they seem to give us a sense of security, which at some level, at a deeper, a very deep level, there is no such thing as security. And I think one of our biggest steps that we can take towards becoming more of our true nature and also to find more peace is actually to befriend with the unknown, to really open our mind and our hearts to not knowing. Because in the end, well, really, that we don't know. We only know that we're going to die. In between today and the day of our death, we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody had an idea that COVID would happen. Or I'm sure you have other examples out of your life where you were totally surprised by what showed up that you had never counted on. Right? So I think it's probably a good idea to, as scary as it is, and believe me, I'm talking from my own experience, as a very mind-centered person, I like to hold on to the things that seemingly seem to offer me security. But many times, like I needed to let go of that because there is no such thing as control, right? There is definitely our good intention that we can bring to the table. We can open up to being surprised and to strengthen ourselves so that we can deal with whatever it is that life presents us. Okay, Cheryl, I'm not too sure whether I like how you meant this part where you say that you don't feel like we're there on all levels. If there's something that you would still like to clarify with me, feel free to reach out and I'll be happy to chat with you after the call whenever it works for you. Okay, let's move on to the next question. The next question is from Leslie. Leslie says, I really don't know what I want deep down as my choices have been more about money and survival. How can I change this? Well, the first thing, Leslie, that comes to mind is for you to go back to what I said before about clarifying your values. So when your choices have been about money and survival, it sounds as though that were some aspects that you valued in your life up to date. So what would you like to focus on going forward? So I think that for you to create a foundation of what it is that really matters to you would probably be a really good practical step so that you have a foundation that you can base your future decisions on. For example, if it is that you really value relationships and connection to people, but you've never really made any decisions that took that love of yours into consideration, then of course you would feel conflicted and not really connected to your life choices up to date. Right? So become clear on what it is that you want to drive your life, and then your decisions will become easier once that you have that solidity within yourself. Again, Leslie, for you as well, if you want to chat more, just reach out to me and we'll set up a chat. Now, our fourth question comes from Nikki in Toronto. Nikki says, I feel off, anxious, and unsettled, and it is affecting everything. I'm not sure what to do about it. If you have any advice, I would appreciate it. Well, my advice would definitely be easier if I knew exactly what it means to you to feel off and anxious and unsettled. So we would probably need to explore a little bit more what that looks like for you and what you're feeling anxious and unsettled about. For sure, what I could sense is that there's probably some fear underneath your anxiety and you're feeling unsettled, and a misalignment of what it is that you want out of life and what you are experiencing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be feeling unsettled and anxious. And as unpleasant as this experience is, in some ways, it's a gift because it points you to something that needs your tender, loving care and attention. Because the pain that we experience in life oftentimes is pointing us to those areas where we need to explore a little and focus and find out what it is that is actually creating that anxiety, where we do feel off center, so that we can then, with that understanding, make changes in our life that will bring us back to our center. So also the fact that you say you're not sure what to do, I misread something there. Forget about that. So also for you, Nikki, then, yeah, it would probably be good to be curious and become, explore what it is that is really, what it is that you really find unsettling. And maybe for you, the values exercise would also be helpful, so that you have a clear understanding of what matters to you deeply, so that you can use that as some guiding principles. Okay, Nikki, I hope that was a little helpful. And again, similar to the others, reach out if you want to chat more. Now, our last question for now comes from Donna in New York. How do you revise or change your beliefs? Well, beliefs, from my understanding, are thoughts that we think over and over and over and over again. It's like, as I said before, something that has been ingrained in us through our upbringing, right? We're exposed to beliefs in our society all of our upbringing, and we still are, right? Every day there are beliefs around us that we are exposed to and bombarded with. So understanding that beliefs are an accumulation of the same thoughts that we have been thinking over and over, it's then quite simple in some ways to change your beliefs by starting to think different thoughts. Because the more you think a different thought, the stronger that belief about that's rooted in that thought will then become over time. And the previous belief will fade away. The matter is for you then to decide what your new belief would want to be, right? So that is probably a starting point, but just by starting to think more in along those lines of the beliefs that you would like to establish is definitely a first step. And what you can do is, in order to train yourself to think in new ways, is also to write things down. Because the more often we read or we hear and we are exposed to new ways of thinking, the more they will be able to actually, we'll be able to adopt them, right? And to live and think in new ways. Okay, so those were the were emailed in. So it's now also a good time, actually, to see if we have any caller that would like to, who would like to have a live question. So if you want to call in your question, please call 646-595-4274 to ask your question live. The number again, 646-595-4274. And I see that we seem to have a caller with the name with all one standing by for a question. Hello, please say your name and where you're calling from.
Well, my name is Opulence and I'm calling from my car. And how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you, Opulence? And what's your question?
I'm wonderful. is in terms of identifying one's authentic self and knowing thyself. I find it an interesting topic because it's always, we're always on that path for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The being honest with oneself opposed to how would you suggest one identify their true self to themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really big question, right? So what I would suggest for sure is that you start observing yourself in the way kind of like I suggested before, that you start watching yourself in your interactions with other people and notice whether your behavior feels good to you and whether what you are saying actually feels good and right to you. Or is there something that feels a little bit off, right? So that you start observing and then noticing in which situations you are actually behaving in a way that feels grounded and balanced and okay to you, and in which ways are you not. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I heard you say that earlier, but... I thought I had myself on mute. But the when you are moving from one phase to another, mm-hmm. one level of awareness to another, it seems to me that it may not feel natural. It may feel natural to have been, well, it probably is natural to feel doing things that weren't in your best interest, and yet as you are seeking to know yourself better and you begin to make changes, the changes may not be so comfortable. So in terms of observing yourself and, you know, turning right instead of left, and do you understand what I'm trying to say? It may not feel comfortable in that way as you are.
Yes.
And maybe it will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that, and that's a really good point that you're bringing up, because at first it will indeed feel uncomfortable, and that may be the case for quite a little bit of time, right? Because, like, as you know for yourself, like, for example, when you fold your hands, you probably have a particular way of folding your hands. Like, for me, if the right hand is over the left hand, if I do it differently, it feels awkward at first. Right, so establishing a new habit, establishing a new way of behaving definitely feels uncomfortable at first, because it's that muscle of yours to behave in that way has not been strengthened yet. Right, so that is to be expected, and that is also where then some kind of persistence is needed to just keep going despite the discomfort that you are experiencing.
Okay, do you have any suggestion as to some way to implement like a signal, a sign, some way to assist as you are going through this reprogramming yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good question. And what I could suggest is, and I think it's in NLP actually, in neuro-linguistic programming, that they use kind of little physical habits. For example, you could pinch your knee, or you could put your index finger and your thumb together when you are entering a situation where a behavior feels uncomfortable. But then you practice basically moving through that. And whenever you put your finger and your thumb together, it means, okay, this is now the situation where I need to go forward. Right? It's something like that. Or maybe you have a little a heart, like what do you mean? A gem in your pocket, in your pants pocket. And when you touch that, it means, okay, now I have the courage to move on. It's like little habits like that that you can use in order to keep going in those situations where it feels uncomfortable.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling. Okay, do we have any other callers? Doesn't look like it right now. Okay, but if you still want to call in, you can do so or email us your questions to ontheair@telus.net. And until I get notified about any other questions, I will continue with a couple more ideas about how to learn to bring your whole self to work and what it actually means. So the third point that I had on my list of things I wanted to cover is for you then also to develop the courage and the habit to admit mistakes or shortcomings. And believe me, like I've done my fair share of not doing that because I wanted to look good. I wanted to look as though I had everything together. And that's when many times I didn't actually own up to my own shortcomings or I didn't really, admit that I didn't know something. That's also part of that, right? So for you to develop the courage to actually admit your shortcomings and also really own your successes as well, right? So that would make a whole self experience and a whole self expression in the world. When we can do both, the celebrating our successes and our strengths and our great accomplishments, as much as we can also admit, well, hey, I think I didn't do it really well, and I'd feel okay about that in that moment, and not to blame ourselves or to criticize ourselves harshly for not having done it perfectly, but just own it, because in the end, we're all human, right? And humans are not robots. So it's quite normal to admit or to actually make a mistake. That's how we learn. And it's okay to admit it. Well, and really, if you look at yourself when you see other people or your friends admitting mistakes, most of us are actually quite understanding of other people. So how come we're not understanding of ourselves, right? So I think that is an important aspect of showing up fully, both in life and at work. And then the last point I'm going to make is to actually, kind of like mentioned it, to also then admit when you don't know or understand something, which again, I've done it many times, that I've stayed quiet because I didn't want to look stupid. And in the end, like myself, because I didn't ask the question, I didn't get the answer, so I walked away not understanding things properly and also feeling bad because I didn't really ask the question and I didn't really admit that I didn't know something, and which in the end doesn't feel good, right? So to also ask questions when you don't know something or you don't understand something is another way for you to show up fully. Okay, so those are just a few points of what it means to show up with your whole self in life and at work. In case you would like to continue that conversation or you have a particular aspect of this whole topic that you would like to discuss in greater depth, I would now like to invite you to actually go to my website, which is cleardirections.ca. And under the coaching tab, there is one point where you can see your clarity session, a complimentary clarity session. So I would like to invite you to actually do that and fill out the form for your free clarity session so that we can have a complimentary chat. There's no obligation to ever work with me. However, I can guarantee you that you will walk away with greater clarity about how you can bring your whole self to life and to work. And as I mentioned before, I'm also happy to share my Clarify Your Values exercise with any of you that have an interest in going through that exercise. In that case, you can go to my website again, and on the contact tab, you find a form that you can fill out. You could do it that way, or you can email me directly at monica@cleardirections.ca. So that's Monica with a K, M-O-N-I-K-A at cleardirections in one word and the plural, .ca. Okay, so I hope that you have gained a little bit of insight into the topic of bringing your full and your whole self to life and work, and that you walk away with a tip or two that you can actually apply in your life. I believe that our world needs more people that show up authentically, that are feeling alive and inspired by their own spirit, by their personality, by their purpose, and that who are living their life as fully as possible in their personal and professional realms. So I would also like to, as my last thing, I would like to invite you to next month's show, which is on July the 28th. And for that show, I will have a guest again. Her name is JJ Stenhouse, and she will be calling in all the way from the UK. And our topic will be how to listen to your inner intelligence and allow it to lead you. And I think that actually would be an awesome topic for one of our the people that emailed the questions in. Sorry, I forgot the name right now. But if you want to connect to your inner intelligence and learn to listen to it and let it lead you, next month's show might be the show for you to tune in. Okay, so if I'll let you go for today. Thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you for your questions and participation. I really appreciate it. It was great to be together with you from wherever you are. I wish you a great month, and go forward and bring your full self to life and work. Thank you so much for being here. Bye for now.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Focused. Stay strong. News for the Soul will begin its 24th year of broadcasting in January 2021. After nearly a quarter of a century of grassroots investigation and exploration into the unknown and lesser known realm to discover what's really real and what's really possible, with News for the Soul founder, journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm, we now find ourselves here in this pivotal moment in human history. Staying in our power and in our hearts is more crucial than ever. We are continuing to work 24/7 at News for the Soul Broadcasting to uncover deeper truths and techniques to best maneuver through these very challenging times. We are increasing our broadcasting hours to support and serve you in the highest way possible. Tune in daily to discover new hosts and radio shows, and to hear Nicole Marie's latest cutting-edge interview with luminaries of our times, speaking to what's happening in our world today from a conscious perspective. Community, consciousness, and positive empowered focus are crucial elements right now for us all. Stay focused. Stay strong. For over 20 years, we've known this simple concept to be true. What you focus on expands. That is more important than ever in 2020 and beyond. In times of social distance and lockdown, we must connect with our community more deeply and more often, and we are here for you. Our live shows and our show archives are always totally free to hear anytime. Just go to newsforthesoul.com to tune in and find out more. That's newsforthesoul.com. And spread the word so that others can avail themselves of this free resource as well. That's newsforthesoul.com. Stay focused. Stay strong.
listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.